moving right along on Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey as well. Getting up close to one word here at 7:30. But before we get into that, Mac, I think this is also funny as we're starting to get into like fantasy draft season to like figure out how people do their orders. Yep. Depends on you, depends on your league. Sometimes it's just random draw no matter what. Yep. A lot of times whoever won the league last year can get the can decide where this is how we do ours. Not anybody cares. Whoever won the year before gets to pick wherever they want to be in the draft.
Yeah, that's fair.
Then the rest is random. So like you want the number one overall pick? Cool. This year, you're like, man, I don't know if I want the first or second pick because I think people are going to go Jahmyr Gibbs, Bijan Robinson. Then I get to kind of have my own choice. Or if you're just in love with Jahmyr Gibbs, you think he's going to run for, you know, or have like, you know, 22 all-purpose yards on the season this year. Be more than that, actually. That's probably a good number. Then whatever. The Toronto Blue Jays decided to have everybody that's in the league go out to the pitcher's mound pregame or postgame and throw to home plate. And whoever threw the fastest got to go to the closest to the draft. So whoever threw the fastest pitch was one, and the second fastest
so
two,
and all that. Yeah. That's cool. I like
that's
that.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. You know,
that's
like awesome. So, like, what you, if all your buddies that are in your league lived here? You could be like, all right, we're all going to meet at Shawnee Mission Northwest. We're going to run the 40-yard dash, and whoever runs the fastest gets the first pick, and so on and so forth. So if I was in that, I'd be like, just give me the last pick. I'll snake it at the end.
Yeah, you know?
If you're doing the snake draft, which most do, I'm sure the baseball team's doing that, why wouldn't you say, you know, I got the fastest throw, but I'm selecting the last pick of the draft instead of the first pick of the draft. But even still at the top, you get the snake selection too. But you kind of like the snake selection the first round, second round, right? That's kind of a double whammy for you right there.
Yeah.
Maybe the NFL should do that for their regular draft.
That's why the Chiefs would draft Xavier Worthy.
Yeah.
Like, all right, get us the first overall pick of the draft.
Exactly right.
But speaking of Xavier Worthy, a draft pick from, what, 3 years ago?
Yep.
Hard to believe. This is his third year in the league.
It's crazy to say that, yeah.
Which draft picks have been kind of not Mac's favorite thing to talk about.
No.
But maybe now Mac has to apologize.
Yeah,
apologize.
2023, 2024, I can't speak for those. Those were bad drafts by Brett Veach. Misses, right, coming off of 2022. 2025, we didn't really get to see a lot of them, and we can talk about that here a little bit later. But what we saw yesterday, man, the rookies and the second-year players look like they are...
2 days ago.
Yeah, 2 days ago. Yeah, thank you.
Unless you watched it yesterday on 38, the spot, the replay.
What we saw this weekend from the rookies and the second-year players were fantastic, were awesome. They're going to be impact players right off the bat.
Yeah.
You talk about our Mason Thomas, and it's not even... We haven't even seen Mansoor Delane, the 6th overall pick that they traded up for. We haven't even seen, really. We saw some Peter Woods. We can talk about that. I think he got the Chris Jones treatment on Saturday as far as double teams. He was double teamed every play, it looked like.
And he had an ankle issue?
Yeah, ankle issue may have affected some of that, too, some of that explosion from him. But we still like Peter Woods. We think he's going to be good. But, yeah, Cyrus Allen, R. Mason Thomas, Emmett Johnson, who somehow fell to the 5th round. All three of those guys right off the rip are maybe not going to be starters, but going to be playing over 50% of the snaps, depending on who they are, and going to be impact players helping this team win football games. You talk about second-year players in 2025. Josh Simmons, we all like Josh Simmons, at least right here on this show. I know there's some people who have question marks. I think Josh Simmons is going to be absolutely fantastic. As long as Ashton Gelati can stay healthy, he showed flashes last year. Noah Williams, I've been screaming about Noah Williams all season and in last season that he should have played more. Noah Williams is going to be the best corner on this team. He's the starting corner. He's the leader of that secondary, in my opinion. And again, I mentioned Jeffrey Bassa earlier. And then in the 7th round, Breshard Smith has got some pop to him as far as a receiving back out of the backfield. And that explosion, that screen pass was great. He can make men miss. He's a returner. That versatility out of a 7th round pick is something to be said. And Jeffrey Bassa, again, he might be the second linebacker by the end of this season. And that was, what, a 5th round pick last season? Last year. So you've got now 6 or 7 guys that I just mentioned in the last 2 seasons who are going to be impactful in winning. That is top-tier general manager right there. And you can start to go, okay, well, I'm going to put more impetus on Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo as far as why weren't some of these guys playing? Noah Williams, Jeffrey Bassa, Breshard Smith. We needed a running back last year. It was like, we'll occasionally play Breshard Smith. He looks really good. And now he's gone. And now here's Isaiah Pacheco and the guy off the couch and Kareem Hunt. So I'm starting to look more at the coaching staff as to the reason these last couple of seasons maybe that we haven't seen the fruition of what Brett Veach has been able to do with some of these drafts, because 2026, it's early. It looks like this could be a repeat of 2022, and we need it to be if we want this. We've all talked about it. We need another 2022 type draft, another legendary draft, 4, 5, 6 guys who are going to be impactful right off the rip for 4 years. Because if we want this dynasty to continue, that's what it will take. And that's what it looks like really early on.
Yep.
Without even seeing the 6th overall pick yet, that's what it looked like Brett Veach has done.
I will say this. When this draft happened in April, May, whenever the hell it was, we all looked at the draft and were excited about the draft, right?
Yep.
And then we watched, you know, the OTAs, training camp, all this, got a little bit more excited about the players. And then we saw them on Saturday and went, oh, isn't it fun when the players perform that you're counting on in the draft like that, where every single one of these guys, check, right down the list, went out there and performed. And we have not had that since that 22 draft, right? Mm-hmm. You have not walked away from the preseason excited about the draft picks since the Trent McDuffie draft and the George Karloftis draft. That was the last time we all truly walked away from preseason games talking about these young guys. I told you guys for a while now, something weird went on last year. I don't know what it is. And now here you are talking about what went on last year. Something weird went on behind the scenes. Kind of like the Royals right now. You're 25 games under 500. You like the names on the team, but for whatever reason, it's not working, right? Same thing with the Chiefs last year. You like some of the names on the field, but for whatever reason, they weren't getting into the lineup. Mm-hmm. Something was just off inside that locker room last year. Everybody just had a down year from Andy Reid all the way down, and it does. Everybody's included in all of this, and that's why you hear Clark Hunt at the beginning of training camp talking about the mindset of the team and being in that right mindset. I really think last year, the mindset of that team was, I'm exhausted, man. I just don't have any more. By everybody, and it showed. Regroup this offseason, longer offseason, refresh yourself this offseason. Basically got a sabbatical, guys. They got an extra 30 to 40 days off this year that they don't normally have, and boy, it looks like they have refreshed themselves and really went to work to tackle, no pun intended, the 2026 season, because everything so far is looking up, and I know there are people that cover this league that are looking at that first preseason game by the Chiefs and going, Emmett Johnson broke 10 tackles. Cyrus Allen jumped how high and made a catch? Yeah. Josh Simmons did what out there on the field with the snatch block? Like, what's going on with the Kansas City? Oh, and Mahomes didn't even play.
Yeah, I think that it's a lot of not only that, but the personnel around what you're changing offensively. I thought they ran a lot of plays under center, which I thought was interesting to see because I know that it's not the starters playing, as the text line is so effing negative every single day about certain things. But like, that's your scheme. That's what you're going to see your starters do. And if those guys are running that effectively, you have to think and have to know that the guys that actually play every day, the 11 they're going to be out there more often than not, know exactly what they need to do. And if it looks, I'm not going to say well-oiled yet, but it looks like a different sort of offensive format out there, right? Like Noah Gray knowing where he's supposed to be on that third and long play. It wasn't a first down, but it was a 15-yard catch on an 18-yard or third and 18. Having the screenplay being effective with Bashard Smith, you could not and would not run screens with Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco, which means all of those options are out. Bashard Smith was a rookie last year, so he wasn't going to get the playing time that we thought, you know, that maybe he's going to get this year. I don't know. This is a hot take. I may not need to see DeMarcado after seeing Emmett Johnson and Bashard Smith.
Trade him is what you're saying, maybe, potentially?
Whatever you got to do. Because, again, I know it's preseason, and I know that these guys are going to have a lot of proof to show us. But, like, seeing under center plays happen, seeing somebody on the defensive line being able to actually get in the backfield, like that's got to give George Karloftis some sort
hell
of like,
yes. You
know, like what's it going to be like on third down when they take 56 off the field to put our Mason Thomas out there? What's it going to look like if they have a third down set where they don't have Ken Walker out there, but they've got Smith and they've got Emmett Johnson out there where you're like, okay, you have two different like sort of Swiss Army guys back here that could either, you know, get a quick handoff or they could go out and run like the double flare screen that we used to always run in Madden. And there are things that they can do this year. And I think Cyrus Allen being a fifth round pick, it is not uncommon to find a solid receiver in the fifth round. That has happened multiple times in the NFL. And maybe it finally happened for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yep.
You might have a wide receiver two battle. You might also have a blessing in disguise at your quarterback two battle when it might be Nuss the Bus taking over for Justin Fields as the number two backup. There are all these things that after one game of a soft opening to a season, you're not going, oh, wow, they're only going to run the ball on third and one or
well,
third and
short. And that's the thing. Like to the people who are negative about this, think about what your perception would be if these guys went out there and didn't look like they did. And we're talking about, boy, there's no burst from Emmett Johnson and R. Mason Thomas is slow and you know all the negative stuff that we could have had. We had a great dress rehearsal for what we needed to see as a fan base, I thought. We saw the running game. We saw good plays from the young guys. That's what you want to see in the preseason. We're not sitting here saying this is a, you know, a team that's going to set records and, you know, they're whatever the case is. This is a team, though, that I think really passed the first test with flying colors. I think for all the angst and anxiety that a lot of us have had since the end of last season, I think a lot of anxiety was released on Saturday knowing, damn, these young players are going to be very impactful for this team. And it looks like we've restocked this organization. That's what I'm taking away from Saturday's game. I'm not taking away it was against twos and threes and fours and fives and sixes and sevens. I'm taking away that whoever played for the Chiefs, for the most part, played their asses off. And I felt impressed after the first preseason game. That's exactly what you want in the preseason.
I'm also not holding the penalties accountable. Yes, there were some on the first drive. I get that. There was a really bad one on that screenplay to Rashard Smith that really killed the drive.
Yep.
But a lot of those penalties, in my opinion, are coming from the guys that are never going to play. Like Caliendo, I think, had two crucial like holdings or whatever they were. There was a couple other backup linemen that had them. And, you know, yeah, those are going to get cleaned up, I would think. I mean, those guys aren't, you know, it's their first game of the season that they've actually played. And, you know, we don't have DeJuan Taylor here anymore, right? Like, he's not here to, you know, jump early or, you know, to not be in the right spot. So I think seeing what this team might have potentially with young superstars, maybe that is the wave moving forward for the Kansas City Chiefs. Maybe it's time to, you know, take a play out of the Royals playbook. Hey, I don't know if Jack can hit lefties yet. I don't know if this guy can play it, you know, the first game against Denver. Going to find out real quick if he can.
See, in football, it's funny. We just throw guys out there and let them go. In baseball, like, man, I don't think, yeah, but that's the right way to
you
do
have
it.
To. Let you have 53 guys.
Yeah, take the training wheels off. Let these guys go out there and play. Sometimes we coddle these athletes too much. Sometimes it's just throw them in the fire and see what happens. And you know, it worked. It was good.
Right.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
One, two, three.
Oatmeal raisin.
That's right. It's One Word on a Monday. It's brought to you by the Sand Trap. It's a great spot. It's got delicious food, cold drinks, TVs everywhere to watch all your favorite sports teams. It's located in the northeast corner of Blue Ridge and Sport and Holmes in South KC. Today on a Monday at the Sand Trap, you can get the Trap Club Wrap. Say that five times fast. It's a 14-inch tortilla with ham, turkey, bacon, shredded lettuce, cheddar cheese, cheddar jack cheese, that is, and diced tomatoes with your choice of ranch, chipotle ranch, or mayo. I suggest the chipotle ranch. Gives a little kick, and it's delicious. It also comes with fries or those delicious house chips for just $13. Also, if you're a fatty like me, they give you the option. You can get the $9 cheeseburger and fries and $1 off craft beers. All that at the Sand Trap on a Monday. Mac?
Let's do it. We're talking Chiefs preseason. This was Cyrus Allen in the locker room after the game. Still taking it all in, being a Kansas City Chief.
It's surreal. I'm still learning and that I'm playing for the Chiefs, and I'm still like looking at Pat like, damn, just Patrick Mahomes, I'm around. So it's still surreal for me.
One word.
Surreal is the word that you will use there, because when you think about Cyrus Allen, when Patrick Mahomes started playing, he was like 12 years old. He legitimately now grew up watching Patrick Mahomes win Super Bowls, make plays, be this dynamic quarterback. That's the guy Cyrus Allen grew up watching. That's the guy all of these rookies, for that matter, grew up watching. So to hear him say that it is surreal, it feels like, you know what? I ain't letting this guy down. And I like that a lot by Cyrus Allen. That was a good comment by him.
One word for me would be cool, but now I need that surreal feeling to move forward, right? Like, it was surreal, you know, coming in here for the first time in this building and seeing people that I, you know, had listened to my whole life, from Kling and Bob to Danny and Carrington to Jay and Henry. Mm-hmm. But now you work for them. You are their teammates. Now it's like the surreal feeling has to leave. Now make it surreal that you're a young player in the league that's now the number one target for Patrick Mahomes. So it's fun and fine that that early feeling is there, but you're all teammates now and you have one goal, and that's to go be winners. So I don't mind it, right? But let that feeling go, right? Like, oh my gosh, that's Mac Morey over there. Yeah, that's cool for the first couple weeks.
Mac's awesome.
But after, eventually, it's got to be like, hey, Mac, like, what are you doing here? Are we going to start putting this together? It's like, so that's fine.
Yep.
And it is crazy when Bob says that he was 12 years old when Mahomes stepped foot in the league.
Seriously. I mean, what is he, 22 or 3 years old?
23 years old. 23.
Right? 10 years ago.
Yeah.
He's 13 years old when Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where we're getting now, guys. Guys that are coming into the league now pretty much grew up watching Patrick Mahomes play football.
It's awesome. It's awesome. It feels like everyone grew up watching this guy play at KU because he was there so long. Undrafted rookie quarterback Jalen Daniels. He went off in his preseason debut, 10 for 15, 111 passing yards, and one rushing touchdown. One word on the former Jayhawk.
Fun. You like to see that, right? That was kind of cool to watch him go out there and ball the way that he did, because we didn't really get to see that in Lawrence all that much.
Yeah,
that was for Tampa Bay, by the way.
Yes.
And you'll see him this week as well, because the Chiefs play the Bucs on Saturday at 6:30.
Good point.
I missed this. There was a clip on Twitter that said, this quarterback reminds you of anybody in the past? Were they trying to reference Michael Vick?
Oh, wow.
I didn't see that. I don't know. It said, who does this quarterback in the past remind
trying to think
you of?
He's with Tampa, though. Is there somebody with Tampa, maybe, that?
No.
No, there isn't, really. No.
No, because he's not Josh Freeman.
It's not Tom Brady.
He's not Randall Cunningham. I was like, can he just be Jaden Daniels?
Yeah.
I think it's fun because who's in a contract dispute in Tampa right now?
Well, that's exactly right. Yeah, Baker is, yeah.
What do you do, Tampa?
We don't need to sign Baker. We got Jalen Daniels ready to take over. Oh, my God, that would be hysterical. But he's having a better weekend than the other Jaden Daniels did,
The KU guy's going to outplay the OU guy, and then on Baker's way out, full circle, crotch grab as he leaves Tampa.
Yeah.
Next quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Baker
Men's Wieners.
Mm-hmm. Jackson Dart going from quarterback to quarterback. Blue Tent got absolutely walloped on a play. Running back missed a block, and he got blindsided. Now, including preseason games, Jackson Dart has made a trip to the blue medical tent in 43% of his career starts. One word.
Sad. I mean, every time this guy gets tackled now, are we going to run over to the blue tent? And he was pissed after the game. Now, the hit that he got destroyed on was like a heat-seeking missile. The safety just destroyed him. But it was a great tackle. There was no reason to go to the tent on that. It was a perfect tackle. Total whiff by the running back. And if that offense is going to be the same that we've seen in Kansas City, that running back better pull his head out of his ass and not get his coach or his quarterback killed, or he won't be playing in that offense. Because as you know, the running backs need to block. But yeah, Jackson Dart, man, it's almost like it's just par for the course now. After every play, send Jackson to the blue tent.
Yeah, I think it's concerning, but also I would say my one word would be line. That offensive line, man, you've got to protect for that kid, because you know he's going to be a rocket. He's going to move out there. He's going to, you know, play fearless. But again, that was like, as soon as I saw the hit, I texted Bob and I was like, so Dart just got absolutely rocked. And the first response was, running back missed the block. I said,
absolutely.
So he just missed the team. And then I said, blue tent, he's fine. I'm like, that's going to wear off really fast in New York Giants fandom of those people be like, it's just precaution. I don't know if it is. I don't know. I mean, Dart, you got to protect that kid, man.
Yeah, unsustainable would be my word. I mean, that is not going to last long if he's just living in the blue tent, man. He's got to get out of there. Yeah, that was a terrible missed block by that running back. That was insane. I mean, the guy was showing blitz. You know he's coming.
It was a whiff. I've never seen a whiff like that. And the quarterback just got absolutely lit up. I was like, ooh.
Noah Cameron lit up the opponents last night, 9 innings pitch, 1 hit, 0 runs, 8 K's for the man himself. Noah Cameron, one word.
Star. That was a great performance. Been great since he's decided to take matters into his own hands and start calling the games himself and start controlling his own career. And that's what I really love about Noah Cameron. He took his own career into his hands and said, screw this. I'm going out and I'm doing what I need to do for my career. Love Noah Cameron for that. He advocated for himself.
One word is ace. That's the ace of your staff next year.
I agree.
So, Bob, if you want to trade him last year, boy, could you get a package now for him.
Sure,
you don't have
anybody
to pitch. So, Noah Cameron's the ace of your staff next year. Josh Fernier at 820, by the way, today.
But again, that should not be a reason to pass on a good trade because you failed at having people ready to go in the minor leagues.
Yeah, if the bullpen wasn't so, dang, yeah, it would be a
great. Historically bad is the two words you're looking for. Historically bad.
Yes. Be a great trade candidate if they didn't. They had other pitchers. They had other arms they could trust. That's too bad.
You thought the gas prices were high at Quick Trip. You got to look at them at the Royals bullpen. There's a lot of gas prices that are high up there. Everybody's got a can at $3.89.
From a young guy to rookie, how about this?
You would think with it being that expensive, they wouldn't want to waste it as much as they've done this year.
Well,
talk about historic Joshua Baez. Three home runs in his debut for the St. Louis Cardinals. Three! One word.
Historical. I mean, nobody's ever done it, ever, in the history of baseball. That was wild to see that happen.
Effing Cardinals, man. Every time. No, my one word would be spiritual, and I'm not going to get emotional or choked up, but it was really cool, and I heard this story later that day. So if you missed it over the weekend, the kid comes up, hits his first home run, 449 feet, hits his next pit, not next pitch, but the next at-bat hits a home run, and then in his third at-bat, he goes opposite field. He told reporters after the game, there was a bumblebee floating around him the entire game in his debut. The man lost his father not long ago. So if you think there's not something up there in the sky, I suggest you take another look because that was crazy. It was nuts.
Awesome.
I don't know, man. It was really cool to see that and then to see his minor league teammates watching from their own little area while he was playing. And when he hit the opposite knock, they're all freaking out. Never seen that before, man. That Baez kid, what a day, man. He's got three home runs in his debut. First pitch he ever sees, it's gone.
Boom, and
he's
450 feet.
I mean, yeah, just
what are you doing for an encore now, right?
Yeah, hitting two more, and the last one's going to go oppo. And, oh, by the way, it's against our biggest rival in their ballpark that we get to do that to. But the bumblebee thing, man, the spiritual stuff is just, it's nuts, man. It's just, it's weird how that works. So, yeah, that was great. And good for that guy. Two words, juiced balls. That is one word here on Monday on 96.5 The Fan. Again, brought to you by The Sand Trap. Great place with great food, great drinks, great specials, TVs everywhere to watch all your favorite sports. And it's located in the northeast corner of Blue Ridge and Holmes in South KC. Today on a Monday at The Sand Trap is the Trap Club Wrap. 14-inch tortilla with ham, turkey, bacon, shredded lettuce, cheddar, jack cheese, tomatoes, your choice of ranch or Chipotle ranch or just mayonnaise. Come with fries or the house chips for $13. You can also get the $9 cheeseburger and fries or $1 off craft beers. Coming up on the other side, we get back into what Eric Bieniemy's effect can be on this team because, boy, do I think camp's going to be hell today. 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Kyra Stonga, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.